Hold all this ladies here. Shara Bitachon, Sunday, Parshas Tetzave, February 14th. Hey, Adar Aleph. Shara Bitachon.
Hey, we'll only have to talk to Shara Bitachon, and we're in Perek Dalet, and he had his list of seven things and how to apply Bitachon, how Bitachon manifests itself in these seven areas of life. And we're in the middle of number four. Number one was money, number two was money, different levels of having money, and number three was all the relationships a person has, friends, enemies, family, being alone, being in a position of power over other people, being in a position of subservience to other people, and that was all number three. Number four is mitzvahs. Now we're moving into the area of mitzvahs, which he splits into two, four and five. Four is mitzvahs that you do and there's no one else involved. Davening, sukkah, challah, shmir shabbos, yom tiv, not doing averis, all the chavis halvavos, it's just you. There's no one else in the picture. And then number five will be the mitzvahs that do involve someone else in the picture, like giving tzedakah, etc. So we're in the middle of number four, and he really analyzes the idea of how a person makes a decision, because he right away jumps into Bechira. And he says that to have Bitach, so he analyzes the decision-making process and the carrying out, the implementation of the decision. He splits it up into three parts. The first part is, he calls the decision in his heart. The third thing, I'm skipping the second for a moment, the third thing is actually implementing the decision. The second thing, it's not so clear to me what he means. Most Mefarshim, and I admit his Lashon, is an absolute Hachlata. The first thing apparently was, call it a Havamina, a Tzad, maybe I should Taka do it. Maybe it's, I would want to do that, but I don't know if I'm really holding by it. There's some sort of, it's not solid. And the second area, and the second thing was the solidity of the decision. That's how most learn, and that's how his lashon is mashma. I had my own way to learn. That is, the first one is the decision, and the second one is planning how the decision will be implemented. Now I could say that it boils down to the same thing, because that's where you see that the decision is serious and that the person really is holding by doing it and wants to do it because he makes a game plan how it's going to get done. Okay, so it really doesn't matter almost. The first two are involved are the decision making process. And the third is the actual implementation. So he says to have bitachon in the first two areas of mitzvahs, because that's, again, we're number four on the list, mitzvahs. And then he analyzes how a person goes about making a decision. Maybe these three things are every decision a person makes. But he's talking about bechira decisions, which are tov and ra. So he says, if someone will have bitachon in the first two of these three shlavim of the decision-making process, he calls it, it's a mistake and it's foolishness. And he implies very strongly, and he just about says it, that if it's not bechira, if it's not tov and ra, if it's deciding, you know, something which is not tov and ra, then Hashem is really going to push your mind a certain way, and that is Hashem. It's not really your bechira. You're not free. You don't really have free will in that. It's whatever Hashem decides you should do. Now, that may sound like, again, I go into a store and I'm running to decide if I should buy, you know, straight white paper dishes, paper goods, or a little colorful. So there's no tov and ra. So on one hand, it's like a little funny and people giggle when they say Hashem is going to move your mind in a certain decision. You say, I have trouble believing that Hashem gets involved in my life in those areas. But that's a very wrong attitude, because it is. Hashem is involved in everything, and that's one of the beliefs we have to have. And that's how Avodah Zarah really started, with the philosophical, theological inability to conceive of a Kel Godol Gibor Vanora Kol Yochol Humakomo Shel Olam V'Ein HaOlam Makomo, getting involved in what type of kugel I'm making for Shabbos, potato or noodle. Now, so that's Adarabba. There's no Bechira there. So it's Hashem's going to decide. Why? We don't know why. We're not privy to that. But there's no hefkeris in the world. On the other hand, one could make a case. I talked about the Shabbos with my children at the table. Because the Chavetz Chaim also says, in Shara Avodas Elokim, that really everything can be boiled down to Tov and Ra. And if you're sensitive to all decisions, everything, there's no such thing as Divrei HaRashus, as optional things in life. Something either brings you closer to Hashem or pulls you further away from Hashem. So really, that would mean everything is Tov and Ra, and everything is Bechira. So we decided, talking about it at the table, yesterday we had this discussion, we decided it depends if a person's sensitive to it or not. And if I want to decide between potato kugel and noodle kugel, so I am not sensitive. No, the Chavis HaLodos is a major chiddush in Shara Avodas Elokim, and you have to have a very sensitive soul to say, let's say, this is more fattening, and that'll pull me down, or to say, my kids enjoy this more, so it's more Onik Shabbos, and I'll just eat a smaller piece, so I'll deal with the fattening part, but my kids will have more. Well, not a joke. This is, the Chavis HaLodos says, everything in the world is Tov Ura. Everything in the world is either leading you away from Hashem or pulling you towards Hashem. But you have to be very sensitive to that. Because if I go into a store and I'm trying to decide, you know, what color napkins to buy, but a sensitive soul will maybe say, well, this is more expensive, so it's beneath color napkins. On the other hand, maybe it's covered Shabbos, etc. So, what we decided at my table yesterday was, it depends. If you're sensitive to the Tov Ra aspect of things in your life, so even if it's not mitzvahs or averos, but you're sensitive to it and you're attuned to that, so then it's Bechira. Because then the Yetzer Hara tells you, you know, you can afford it, spend the money, and the other way, it's, let's say it's not for Shabbos. So, say, you can afford to spend the money. And they're saying, what do you need it for? It's Mosros. What am I spending money for? I'll give the money to Tzedakah. But if you're not attuned to that, and you're just walking into the store and you're saying, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, what do I feel like today? What's my mood? Am I in the mood for colored napkins or white napkins? So then, adarabba, there's no Bechira there, and Hashem's going to make the decision. Now, it could be Hashem will let you decide. I don't know. You know, I'm not Hashem's secretary. But the point is, it's not Bechira. Bechira is the chiddush that Hashem butts out, and he doesn't mix in. So that, if you're not attuned to it as Tov and Ra, so it's not Bechira. So then, I don't know, maybe Hashem is going to push him into it. Anyway, he may let you decide, because Taka doesn't matter, but it's not what we would call the technical, legal Bechira. It's not Bechira. So here, he says, here he's assuming, he's only talking about mitzvahs. So someone will come and ask me, but the Chavis HaLodos, why is he only talking about mitzvahs? Every decision in life should be, I have to decide what job to take, let's say, or I have to decide anything that are decisions, and like, why is he only talking about mitzvahs and averas? There's plenty of things in the world that are not a mitzvah, not an avera, but okay, so enechanami, I would say. If you're attuned to the message of Shara Avodas Elokim,
that job, right? This will get me home later. This will make me more tired. I won't be there for my kids, but it's a higher salary, and it'll take a certain pressure off the house if there's more money in the house. And, you know, so there's an example where it's not that difficult to be attuned to the Tov and Ra, Shebo. And then the Chavis HaLogos would be talking about that too. That if you say Bitachon, and I'm trusting Hashem, and whatever I do is fine, and Hashem will work it out, he calls that wrong and foolish. But most of the time, I would venture to say, okay, I pick like major things, like a job, or a shidduch, or what have you. But most of the time, we're not really attuned to what the Chavis HaLogos, and the Tanya Grada also says the same idea, that everything is either closer to Hashem or further from Hashem. Everything. No such thing. So we don't quite know how. So that's what I'm saying. So, but here, he happens to be talking about mitzvahs and averis. So, what about other things? So it depends. I'll say again. If you're attuned to it, then it's included in Bechira. And therefore, saying that Hashem, I'm just doing it and Hashem will work it out. I have trust and faith in Hashem to work things out. He calls that foolishness, and it's a mistake, and it's foolish. It's like saying, and we would all laugh, I'm going to sleep tonight, I'm not setting my alarm clock, and if Hashem wants me to get up, to go to Minyan, or to be able to daven before my kids wake up, or whatever the case is, before my day gets all hectic and busy, I'll have time to daven, so I'm trusting Hashem to wake me up. So that's foolish and wrong. That's his chiddush here. And that's why he gave a very humble Hakdama. He says Hashem should save me from making a toast here. I'm asking Hashem, he started off this paragraph saying, I'm asking Hashem to guide me to say the emes. Because this is a big chiddush. After talking incessantly about bitachon, he all of a sudden says this area in life where you have no right, and it's wrong, and it's foolish. It's worse than foolish, it's wrong. Or maybe it's worse than wrong, it's foolish. Depending on your mindset. So, ki Hashem is baruch hiniach, Hashem left it up to us. Ubachayta bachayim, v'lo hiniach perushusenu hashlomas hamaiseh ba'avodo ba'avera, ela besibush en chutzlanu. So that the result is up to Hashem. Whether I'll be successful, whether I will choose to get up in the morning, and I'll even set my alarm clock, let's say, according to me, or I'll make a final hachlata. Yes, I have absolutely decided I'm getting up early in the morning. You know, you have to have a schus. You might sleep late. Hashem can make you sleep late very easily. Hashem could make you miss the visiting hours in the hospital. You can give tzedakah to someone not worthy. In all these areas, there you have to have bitachon in Hashem, and you have to daven to Hashem that your good bechira, and there's also a chiddush, but it really is not such a chiddush if you think about it, because that is up to Hashem. I mean, like a person says, I want to take challah, I want to put on tefillin, you know, but the body has to work. You still need Hashem to allow the body to work. I guess it's still a chiddush to say that since it's the implementation of my bechira, so it automatically will work. Maybe that's a chiddush. He's saying, no, it's not automatic. You have to have bitachon in Hashem, and you have to daven to Hashem to make you successful, and to allow your good bechira to be implemented. Im yiftach alo elokim bebechiras avodoso, but if he wants to apply bitachon to his choice, the yomer lo efchar v'lo achavein, lasos klub me avodos habore, Achayivchali atov mimenu, I trust in Hashem, I be talking, Hashem is going to work things out, that it'll be good, that I'll do good, kvor to'a miderech hayeshara, umo'adu raglo, that's the lashon of a pasuk, me'ofane hanachona. Ki abori is borach, kvor tzivonu, livcha b'maiso avoda, Hashem told us to make the decision. Hashem said, what do you want from me? This is in your hands, this is up to you. We people are very it is almost comical that when it comes to Gashmius and Parnosa and Shidduchim and everything out there, so people, I can't leave it up to Hashem, I have to do, maybe they'll make a cover-up called Hishtadlus, but their mindset is that it's up to me. And when it comes to mitzvahs, they go, you know, they're very, very happy that Hashem is like running the show. But it's the other way around. When it comes to mitzvahs and averus, Hashem is not running the show. It's completely up to you. And in everything else, Hashem is running the show. So he says, Hashem told us what to do. You know, this is what people really have some trouble with. Because many times people are faced with tov and ra decisions, even not of the ilk of Shar Avodas Elokim, where everything is tov and ra, but just like they sort of know that there's a right way and a wrong way, but it's unclear to them. They don't have clarity on which way is right and which way is wrong. And I hear this many times. You know, we want to do the right thing, but we don't know which way is the right thing. So the Chavis of all this doesn't like talk about that. It's like a little unfair, because he says, what do you want from me? I already told you what to do. V'charta v'chayim, and just, you know, pick the right thing. So, but I know people, so I have two answers to that. First of all, it is possible. I don't think it happens too often. I think deep down in a person's heart, he knows what's right, and he knows what he should do. He just wants to do the other thing. And there's a veneer of, well, maybe that's also right. You know? So then they say, oh, I don't know which is right. But really, they do know, like deep down. I can't prove it. It's deep down, so I can't prove it. But that's what I think. And second of all, Enochanami, that's why you have to go to a Rav or a good friend or someone else and talk things over. And in talking things over, it'll get clarified what's right and what's wrong. You know, sometimes you need a mentor. Yeah.
Well, you've told me before about a person should have a sensitivity to tov v'ra.
I didn't say a person should. I said if. Chavis of Lovis makes a remarkable statement in Shaar Avodas Elokim that everything, and I said the Tanya says the same thing, everything in the world, maybe we won't call it tov v'ra, but we'll call it brings you closer to Hashem or pushes you away from Hashem. Now, wait. He says that. So all I said today was that a person has to have a super sensitivity to that. Not everybody, it's not automatic. If I walk into a store and I see something without a hechsher, okay, you know. But if I walk into a store and I'm trying to decide what kind of fish to buy, so most people, I would venture to say the overwhelming majority of people are not attuned to how one would bring me closer to Hashem. Well, you really have to be sensitive to it. It's not, no, please, it's not trivializing it. That's exactly my point. That if you're not attuned to the closer to Hashem or further from Hashem, then indeed it's not Bechira. It's not, then you may feel it's trivializing Hashem's concerns, because if it's not Bechira, then Hashem's going to decide. So you say, Hashem certainly doesn't care what kind of napkins I buy. But it's not Bechira. It's not the Bechira that we talk about that Hashem butts out and it's none of his business. Hashem might manipulate your mind to buy colored napkins for reasons of his own, but he won't manipulate your mind if it's a Bechira question. Now, as I said, but to talk about everything that it's up to you and Hashem butts out, because the Chavis HaVodah says in Shaar Avodas Elokim that everything is tov v'ra, so that's what we had the discussion with that came up, only if you're attuned to it. If I walk into a store and I'm buying napkins and I'm not attuned, I'm not sensitive to the spiritual plus or minus of my decision, so you'll say nobody's attuned to it. Fine, good. So if nobody's attuned to it, then it's not, if you're not attuned to it, my point was it's not Bechira. If it's not Bechira, then it really, Hashem is calling the shots. Not you. You certainly should, but it's very hard. If the Chavis HaLubavitch and the Tanya both say that everything you do, every decision you make, is a choice between closer to Hashem or further away from Hashem, but two people might be different. I'm deciding if I want to come to the Chasana on time, or I want to daven Ma'ariv for the Minyan. Let's say it's a choice. Let's say I can only daven Ma'ariv for the Minyan, and that will mean I come to the Chasana late. And so one person will decide, and let's say you're attuned to the spiritual elements of it. So one person, the answer might be that Tov for him is to not daven Ma'ariv with a minyan, but to be Mesameach v'chasun kala, or the parents. And another person might, and he would be right, and another person might decide, after thinking about it, that his personal avoda demands that he be more makbid on davening with a minyan, because if he misses today with a minyan, then the next time it's going to be that much easier, and then the next time it's going to be that much easier, and then he knows that he's pretty, he's a little lax with minyan, and it would be very dangerous. So he'll decide to not miss Ma'ariv. So if you're not dealing with objective tov ra, then two people can reach totally legitimate decisions, even from the perspective of the Chavis HaLubavitch, is closer to Hashem or further away from Hashem, and they can reach different conclusions because every person's neshama is different. So if there's something usur, or it's a mitzvah, so then, ironically, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer, then you're lucky, right? But if it's like what I just said, it's very difficult. So if you're, or napkins in the store, you know, or what color dress, face, I don't know. So, it's very hard to live the life of the Chavis HaLubavitch and Shara Avodas Elokim. Very hard. You have to have a very spiritually sensitive soul, or, you know, is a person, yeah, should a person do it? Obviously a person should attempt to. But the Chavis HaLubavitch says that everything is like that. Whether it's being more gashmi, or giving in to my taiva when it really doesn't mean anything, or I wanted to get this because of what the neighbors will say if they come into my house, and yeah, so I'll spend the money, which maybe is better spent on other things, but my neighbors, I want them to think of me, you know, I want to keep up a little with the neighbors. So this is all, it becomes these issues. That's what the Chavis HaLubavitch is talking about. Everything is tov ra. Should I eat this? Should I buy this? You know, if we're not attuned to it, though, then this is also a chiddush. That's what we came up by my Shabbos table, though, my children and I. That if you're not attuned to it, then it's not tov ra. Then it's just that, you know, if you could create that reality, is it Bechira or is it up to Hashem? Because if you don't relate to it as Bechira, you don't relate to it as closer to Hashem or further Hashem, that's like the furthest thing from your mind. You know, you have to really, you're not sensitive to it, so then it's up to Hashem really. It's not up to you at all. Or at least Hashem doesn't butt out. Hashem only butts out when it's Bechira. Yeah, you had a question? Somebody? Okay, so let's just say that 99% of people will not be attuned to the spirituality of napkins. But you want me to make it real? One's more expensive, and it's more covered Shabbos, and you like nice things, but it's not really the covered Shabbos. You like nice things, and maybe you shouldn't, and it depends on your financial situation. And if it was giving tzedakah or doing chesed, you would think three times, and here you're not thinking at all. You say, I'm going to buy the nicer napkins. So maybe I should work on that. Maybe I should be more, have a little more precious in my life. I'm, you know, maybe that's what it would be. Or I'm making Sheva Brachas V'Chas and Kala, and I want to create a more cheerful Avira, so I will spend the money to make a more cheerful Avira, because it's the mitzvah Simchas Chas and Kala. Right? Now's not the time to be mitzamtzim in my hotzos. It's like, you know, Chas and Kala. So then that shifts the equation. So these are possibilities. Should a person walk around like that and think about everything they do? Theoretically, certainly. But it's not practical, maybe, on our madrega. Okay, you're not talking about an avera. You're not talking about an objective avera. You're not talking about lashon hara. You're not talking about eating something not kosher. You're not talking about chas v'shalom, moving muktzah. You know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about lashon hara. We're not talking about things that have objective right and wrong. We're talking about the things that the Chabad Chabad himself, for two pages, said it's divrei reshus. It's optional. There's three areas: mitzvahs, averus, and things that are optional. Then he turned around and he said, "No, no such thing as optional. I take it back. Everything is closer to Hashem or further to Hashem. We don't relate to it that way. Okay, so if we don't. It's not an avera." Not going to do an avera, unless, I mean, I don't know what to call it. If a person always gives into the taivas and buys dafka the latest styles, and you know dafka has to keep up with the way the neighbors live, etc., so that you always have the Ramban about novel b'shus haTorah, right? You can go through life without doing an avera and be a novel b'shus haTorah. So at some point, you're supposed to chap that there's a ruchniyus sticker problem here. But the Chavis HaLavas indeed says that it covers everything. So that's a very difficult task. Okay. Getting back to the Chavis HaLavas here in Shara Bitachon, here he is at least talking about, outwardly, mitzvahs and averus, and he's saying, don't go having Bitachon now. Don't go frum on me now. Now is not the time to have Bitachon. Now is the time to say, I'm in charge of this, Hashem. I will decide yes or no. You butt out. That's how he frames it. How Hashem can do that is almost a philosophical question and a theological question. So we won't. He's not really discussing bechira here. He's discussing bitachon. So he's just saying, don't have bitachon because you have to do. V'myizdavnu hasibos, but the end result is always up to Hashem. So v'myizdavnu hasibos v'yitachon gemar hamaisa ba'avodoso. You made the right decision, and Hashem made it happen. Well, that definitely is up to Hashem, the actualization of your bechira. Just on a practical level, a million things can go wrong, as we all know. I can have the greatest of intentions, and things can go miserably wrong. Not to mention the person can get a stroke, chas v'shalom, and not be able to do all of his great decisions. So he says, Yilonu aschar hagodol ala bechira ba'avoda, v'ala kavona la'asosa, v'ala shlomas ma'aseo be'vorim hanirim. So this is also a chiddush, maybe. Maybe it's a chiddush. He says, you will get schar for the actualization of your bechira. He says you will get schar for all of the three shlovim that we mentioned, the first two, whatever they are, whatever the second one is, but I made my bechira, I made my decision, and I made my hard and fast and solid decision. And then Hashem let it play out and happen. I will get schar for all the three shlovim. Now, why should you get schar for the there's more schar for the actualization. If you want to do good, you're still schar, but there's even more schar if you affected this world for the good. You brought elokus into this world. Your bechira was actualized, so that gets a schar in and of itself. You might ask, why? The way I understand it is really The Michtam Eliyahu in many places discusses a concept of being a kli for Avodas Hashem. And if Hashem chooses someone to be a kli, whether it's maybe to inspire others, has a picture that, let's say, I suffer, and that's certainly Hashem sent down suffering, and other people learn from me, and they're inspired to do tshuva. Or they say, well, look what happened to that person, that could certainly happen to me, I better get my life together. So I will get schar for being a kli for avodas Hashem. And I have to thank Hashem, even though there was no really bechira involved, but I effected ruchnius in this world. And if Hashem chose me to be such a kli, it means I'm okay, I deserve to be a kli, and you will get the schar because you accomplished something in this world. You brought about this accomplishment. So I don't know about the Yisura, that's a bigger chiddush, but certainly if it came about because you made the right decisions and you were bolcher betov, Yisura is like totally not up to you. And even there he says it. But Koshkein, when I made a decision and Hashem really just, so to speak, implemented my decision, so certainly it makes sense that I'm a kli for the ruchnius that has descended into the world, and therefore I'll get schar for that also. That's how I understand it. But you have to daven for that, and that's what he'll say. So David HaMelech daven that his good bechiros should be implemented, should happen, because that's a madrig in itself where it happens, where you effected good things for this world. So many people fail, right? You have to have a schus to succeed. That, let's say, a person tries to do something. Many people have very good ideas, try to do things, good things, and they fail. So that was up to Hashem. They have to not get depressed. They have to say, okay, Hashem didn't want me to succeed. But the truth is, and Hashem Taka didn't want them to succeed, you have to daven to Hashem to have the schus to succeed. You get a merit by succeeding. You become a kli for Avodas Hashem. And if you're not, sometimes you're not zolches, so it doesn't happen. So that's what he says. And he says, "V'mnimna min ha'ivarim gemar ha'maisa." If you don't, you want to make a yeshiva, it doesn't work. You want to make a class for ladies, it doesn't work. You want to do chesed, and it becomes impossible to do. So. So you'll still get schar for the first two things. You'll get schar for Shlav 1 and Shlav 2 of your Bechira. If it was true and sincere, it just something prevented you from carrying it out. Kasha Zacharnu B'meshe Kodam, because that's, you'll get schar for the Bechira Tova. V'chein Ha'onesh Al Ha'Avera. And the same is true in reverse about Averas.
Is that true?
I certainly hope so. I wouldn't want to call the Chavis Halavos a
liar. No, someone has their kavanah and he doesn't carry it out, he's still punished for that?
So that is a good question, because people know that the Gemara says that if you have a bad kavanah and you didn't carry it out, you don't get punished.
Right.
But they don't know the whole Gemara. The Gemara says that's only the first two times. But the third time that happens, you do get punished for it. And the pshat is that Hashem gives you the benefit of the doubt, so to speak, the first two times, that you wouldn't have carried it out anyway. He prevented you from carrying it out. So yeah, but you don't get punished. But that's all. The Gemara says this chilek between the first two times and the third. So the pshat that is, so people just know, if I didn't carry it out, I don't get punished for the bad machshava. But that's not, it's really not true. If you had a bad machshava and you were going, and number, you had shlav two also. You didn't just think bad thoughts, but here shlav two plays a major role. You planned it out. How are you going to do it? You were mamish machlit to do bad. And Hashem, you know, changed the root of the guy you wanted to hurt. So you don't get punished. The Gemara says, the first two times that happens to you. Third time you get punished. And the beer that the Mefarshim say, is that Hashem sort of looks aside the first two times and he sort of makes believe you wouldn't have done it. You would have changed your mind because beard is contradictory to the soul of a yid. A yid wants to do good. So you would have pulled back the last minute. You would have, but by the third time already, you have like a chazaka that you really want to do it, and therefore you get punished even for the decision, for the thought. By a goy, a non-Jew, it says he gets punished for the thought also, even the first time. Because you don't say by a non-Jew he would have pulled back the last minute. Because a yid, we say he would have pulled back the last minute. But a guy, we don't say that.
It's just Shlav 1, and yeah. It doesn't rise to Shlav 2. Is there any punishment involved?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know, it's not clear. The Chazalovitz doesn't say. I hear the question, it's a good question. It's a lawyer question. Only a lawyer would think of that question. Right? Either a lawyer or you learn Gemara secretly. I don't know what. It's a good question. I don't know the answer because the Chazalovitz doesn't say. He doesn't make clear. He just talks about the two. No, the Gemara doesn't even talk about three. This whole three Shlavim is a Chazalovitz is Chiddush. If you would ask anybody who didn't learn Chazalovitz, they would say there's two Shlavim, the thought and the deed. Chazalovitz mamish like splits up the thought into the thought and the firm and hard, solid decision. Or, according to the way I prefer to learn, even though I admit it's not mashma and the lashon like that, it's not mashma and the words of the Chavis Lubavitch like that. It's the thought and the plan of how to implement. Okay. But that he always puts the two together. You're asking, what about if the person has the thought? I don't know. I don't know what to answer you.
When the Gemara talks about
Gemara doesn't have these three shlavim. The Gemara always talks about bechira and the deed. Uh-huh. The Gemara doesn't have this subtlety uh-huh. of the Chavis Halvavas, the breakdown of the thought into two distinct shlavim. This is the Chavis Halvavas is chiddush, and I hold it's even somewhat vague. What's called a thought and what's called a firm decision, which is the way most Mepharshim learn. Like, when does it become a firm decision? Like, at least my way, I know what I could point to. The thought and the plan. But this way, it's kind of nebulous, so I don't know what to say. So I don't know the answer to your question. But that Gemara that everyone knows, and really, this is a kash on the Chavis Halvavas that many ask. But if you, the Gemara, it's really not schwer. Because the Gemara says, once that happens three times, you get punished for the thought also. And the Mepharshim explained the Gemara by saying, Hashem gives you the benefit of the doubt the first two times, that you wouldn't have done it anyway because you're Jewish. A guy gets punished even the first time for thought. Because there's no reason to think he wouldn't have done it. But a Jew has a Jewish soul, and we say, he would have changed his mind the last minute. But once we see he's not changing his mind the last minute, he did the Avera twice and now it's a third time, so then the Gemara says he actually gets punished for his thoughts, for his evil plans. And Hashem, he doesn't get punished as much as if he would have done it. That's like the Chavis Lubavitch says, the mirror image of mitzvahs. If Hashem saved you from a very severe onesh because it didn't happen, so you threw a rock, Chassid Shalom. You tried to hurt someone in some way, and it didn't succeed. You said lashon hara about someone, and you wanted to ruin a shidduch or to ruin a job or to ruin ichvei something. It's got into a school, and it didn't work. So you're not going to get punished as severely as if it would have worked. That's it. I said it's the reverse image by mitzvahs and averus. Okay, and now the Chavis Halvavas, very interestingly, I think he feels compelled to explain the difference. I would have said it's like to explain the difference between regular life and bechira life. In other words, why do I have bitachon? Why is bitachon such an absolute must? And we've been learning about this, and it's coming out of everybody's ears already. I'm sick of bitachon already. Can we learn about something else for a change? why in everything else do we apply bitachon to everything, and in tova ra we don't and can't, and it's wrong and foolish to apply it to bechira. And he's bothered by this, so I don't really understand what he's bothered by, because that's bechira. Hashem told you what to do, and now it's up to you, and that's why you're in this world, to make good choices. So Hashem had to pull back. So like I don't understand. But that's really essentially what he says. But it's interesting to me that he feels compelled to like explain it, to talk it through. Okay, we'll stop here. 5 to 1. Okay.